I have always loved mysteries, from mystery books to mysteries around the world, from the pyramids in Egypt to those mysterious and intricate crop formations that appear mostly in hay fields in England and on wheat fields in Kansas and a few on the moon. Didn't know that, did you? I didn't think so. Well, according to a certain news agency, whose name I will not name, it is a mystery that the Obama administration is keeping a secret from you. I don't know. But I do know that there are mysteries. I am not so nearly concerned with the pyramids or crop formations wherever they are. I am concerned about where my glasses are. I am concerned about going into a room and not remembering why I am in that room. I don't know. But when it comes to mysteries, and there are mysteries, perhaps the church has the greatest of all mysteries. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, he writes in chapter 4, verse 1, "As servants of Christ, we are responsible for the mysteries of God." And the first mystery is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. For who can really understand, comprehend, explain that God is one in three and three in one? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. Like any mystery, the best that you can do is appreciate it, experience it, and even at times revel and rejoice in it. Of course, having said that, that won't keep the church from trying to explain the mystery of God and the Trinity, three in one and one in three. That is why we in the church have creeds. Creeds. The Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian. The Apostles' Creed is the one associated with holy baptism. I believe in God the Father Almighty. The Nicene Creed is associated with the Eucharist, Holy Communion. It is the corporate prayer of the church. We believe in God the Father. And the Athanasian Creed, good night, I don't know what it's got to do with anything. It's 3 pages long, and it is one of the most confusing and arguably one of the most difficult creeds to understand, which is probably why, after all these years, it is no longer in our hymnal. If you want to find it, I suggest that you go on the internet or you grab your old Lutheran Book of Worship, but I will bet you'll give up halfway through. Creeds are our feeble attempt to say that Jesus was, is, and always will be God. But you see, there lies the problem. Not God, but Jesus. We don't think of Jesus as God, and nor does the world. We think of Jesus as some great teacher. We think of Jesus as a courageous social activist, a good moral example, but we do not think of Jesus as God. Ever notice this? It is the problem that people have with Jesus. Not with God the Father, but with God the Son. And the reason for that is that every one of us thinks we know what a God should be like. God should be, well, God should be up there or out there or over there, but wherever God is, we know that God is somewhere up there, out there, over there, right? In ancient times, it was actually a little bit easier to know where God was. For the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Sarah and Rachel and Rebecca was El Shaddai, the mountain God. Far away removed from the regular grime and grind of everyday living. Oh, now and then a favored one would get a glimpse. Remember Moses with the burning bush. But for the most part, this God that we know, who is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, is remote. Jesus, on the other hand, is anything but remote. He's right here, down to earth. In fact, he's a little too earthy for some folks. He was a guy who liked his wine, women, and song. At least that's what his critics, the scribes and the Pharisees, said. Who cares what they say? But the more curious thing is, why didn't Jesus deny it? That's the thing about Jesus. He's just way too human. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. People say to me all the time, well, do you believe in the Virgin Mary, the virgin birth? Do you think that's important? No, I don't think it's important at all. I'll tell you what's really important and what's really disturbing is that God came as a human. Give that some thought, because we don't think of God's being human. Gods are all-knowing, right? They're all-powerful. They're all-wise. They don't act like Jesus acted, that's for sure. We expect God to be mighty, that God will be in complete control over all things. We talk about God's majesty and God's power. And we need that difference. We need that difference. Because other than that, what would be the point of worship, right? But Jesus, for crying out loud, which is what he did. Didn't anybody tell him? Wasn't there a father-son talk? Look, son, when you get down there, don't cry. Gods don't cry. But Jesus cried. He wept. He wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. And the people there said to him, you know, Jesus, if you hadn't been doing the wine, women, and song thing, and you'd gotten over here when we asked you to get over here instead of waiting, Lazarus would be alive. You see, that's what we expect of gods. We expect when we call them to come right away and do something miraculous for us, right? Jesus isn't that kind of God. In fact, he's way too earthy to be that kind of God. What the scriptures tell us is that God, our God, is a God who has power, but at the same time is powerless. Sure, God has enough power to bring life out of death. We are not abandoned to death. We have the promise of eternal life, which is not the same thing as heaven, okay? What is promised is eternal life, not heaven. Yes, Jesus died on the cross, he suffered. But we know that Good Friday was not the last word, and we have a foretaste of the feast to come. Every time we come to this table to eat and drink, it is a foretaste. It is a foretaste of the great feast to come. The feast that we will have with all who have gone before us, with all who are with us now, and all who are yet to come. This was the feast that Lazarus had, a foretaste of what was to come when Jesus raised him from the dead and sat down and broke bread with him. However, God in Jesus is also known to us as being without power. He is the one who gives up his life, who lets it go. Remember how we say it? He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He is the one who weeps and cries out again in pain, my God, why have you forsaken me? In becoming flesh, in becoming like us, Jesus, that is God, dwells among us. Our God took on all that we are, and our God pointed us to life's central mystery, that when we give up ourselves, when we let go and we die to ourselves, that's when we start to live for others. We become what God intended us to be from the very beginning of creation. That is, to be creatures in God's image, creatures of love. Jesus wept, and all said, see how he loved him. referring, of course, to Lazarus. Jesus weeps because he is the God of love. And when our lives are done, when your life is done and mine is done, when we're finally finished, kaput, then all will look at our lives. And will they see God? Will they see God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Will they see God like that confident and courageous little second grader who, when she was given an assignment by her teacher to draw anything she wanted in the art class, she proudly announced to her teacher and the rest of the class, "I'm going to draw a picture of God." And her teacher immediately set her straight and said, "Honey, nobody knows what God looks like." She looked the teacher in the eye and she said, "When I'm done, they will." That's what it means when we're done with our lives, when we're kaput. Will people have looked at us and seen God? That is our baptismal vocation. That is what we are about. But unfortunately, most of what we Christians do is argue with one another over words in the Bible. That is not our Christian vocation. So when you are done kaput, will others know what God looks like? This is our baptismal vocation. God just doesn't look like Jesus. Jesus is God. And others see that in us when we reflect that same love and grace. Well, you're not done yet, and neither am I. So there's plenty of time left. We have the creeds to remind us that Jesus, born of Mary, suffered, died, and was crucified, and on the third day rose again. Because without the creeds to remind us, even we might forget that Jesus was, is, and always will be God. The God who weeps with us in sorrow and leaps with us in joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.